Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Holy crap.
Wait a second.
Holy crap. Kenny Pickett has just been traded to the Eagles.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Get out of here.
What is going on?
Doing this to me?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Russell Wilson, the starter. Who's his backup now?
But I can't see myself playing in another place. But
earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. Coming up, CBS college basketball reporter Seth Davis. Steelers reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Jerry Dulac. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air, everybody. Hey. Good to see everyone right here on the Roku channel, which is free on every Roku device known to man. Also, it is free on the select Samsung Smart TVs, Amazon Fire TV. It's free on the Roku app because the Roku channel's on it. And then the RokuChannel.com if you just want to use the straight up internet tubes. We say hello to our terrestrial radio audience listeners, over 70 affiliates coast to coast. We say hello to our podcast listeners, also through our connection with Cumulus. We say hello to SiriusXM and Odyssey streamers and satellite radio listeners. We're thrilled to be here on this day. Great chat with Louis Riddick of ESPN coming up in this hour. We're going to be talking about the brackets with Seth Davis, going to help us fill these things out. Okay. I got to tell you, it's more of a dart throwing. Maybe I should hang it up on the wall at home and throw darts at it.
That's a pretty good idea.
You know?
Just draw teams out of a hat.
Literal dart.
Truly. because you never know what's going to happen. Right? NC State goes on a run and knocks off North Carolina, but they're still a one seed, right?
Right.
Iowa State destroys Houston. They're still the one seed. Because, you know, there's RPI indexes, and then there's what? Q1, Q4s.
Quad ones.
There's quad ones.
Quad ones. Wins.
And now there's something called KenPom. What the hell is a KenPom? You seen that on all these tweets about, hey, this team's got a rating of this on KenPom.
Yeah.
And then there's all these Q1s, and then there's an RPI.
Well, I saw that Rick Pitino's pissed.
So the red sweater is plan B.
No, that's Ken Bone.
Oh, nice.
Not KenPom.
Oh.
Patino's
like, rankings mean nothing. We need an overhaul.
Dude, hey.
Okay.
St. John's went on a roll after he basically said, can't do anything with these guys, right?
But they were the number one snub, right?
Well, I mean, Big East only got three teams.
Yeah, Seton Hall was on the cusp.
Not the days of old.
No.
You know, they only got three teams. And I guess...
Oh, yeah, Pitt got
UConn's got to just keep winning?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? They just got to keep winning and just show everybody the Big East is back?
Seems like they're the favorite, 31-3.
So we'll talk about all this with
Purdue. In
that. Yeah. And then the story for me is Long Beach State fired their coach, Dan Monson, you know, the old Gonzaga coach who went to Minnesota. They fired him Monday, and then he went and won their conference tournament. And they're now the 15th seed taking on Arizona in the West.
All right.
Bracket.
We need them to make the Final Four.
Dude.
That would be amazing.
It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy.
I love this.
So we'll take a look at the brackets. We'll have Seth Davis tell you who he thinks is the Final Four, winning it all. And then, of course, we'll give you some help to identify those bracket busters and avoid them and be smart and figure out what the upsets are, because if you get those down right,
mm-hmm.
you can win your pool.
Oh yeah,
if you get those first round upsets down right. So And congrats to Michigan State. How about Izzo making it again? What is that, 26 straight years for him? I thought I saw that.
Wow.
They did it again. They're in the ninth seed taking on Mississippi State. You tell me they're not going to win that game, right?
I'm not betting against them.
Okay. So Izzo's back in it. Love that guy. Izzo. He's basically Mariucci. You know, that's maybe part of the reason why I love him. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Wild weekend. You had the March Madness tournament, conference tournaments going down. The Players' Championship. Scotty Scheffler shoots a 64 to win this tournament in second consecutive years.
Yesterday.
Wyndham Clark has a potential extra hole birdie attempt on 18, go right in the center of the cup, it seemed, and then rimmed straight out.
Did a 270.
Full power lip.
Unbelievable.
I've never seen anything like that.
It was all the way down and then popped out.
I mean, and by the way, he was remarkable down the stretch. I just cannot imagine. Could you? I was saying this to my friends as we were watching it together yesterday. What does it feel like to stroll out the TPC of Sawgrass on the final day of the Players' Championship and you shoot a 64? I honestly cannot fathom what that requires. I mean, even I can fathom shooting a left-handed skyhook over Nikola Jokic to try and win a game at the buzzer. Even, you know what I mean? Like, give me that shot. Because I was even thinking about watching Alcaraz, you know, beat Medvedev to win Indian Wells as well. Like, okay, I could still get a point off this guy. But just, I could even potentially flip a left-handed hook shot over Jokic.
Outrageous.
I don't know.
Come on, Rich.
Just getting in there. I could even flip it up there. I mean, I don't think I'd look as artful or as skilled as Kyrie Irving.
That's a given.
Okay, right? But I could do that. That's a million to one shot for me. I could still do that.
Yeah.
But to stroll out.
No.
At the TPC of Sawgrass and go, all right, you know, didn't have a great Saturday, but I'm going to go low today. I'm going to shoot 64.
I'm going to go
to go 60 to shoot a 64 on the final day at the TPC of Sawgrass. Think your way around the court. I mean, just knee knocking on 17, that island green, and just I'll just splash it right there, 48 feet away, and almost hole it out. You know, the NBC broadcast.
Was great. They did a great job.
They did it. They did a great job. And was it Kisner is the guy who's now, is that?
Kisner's in the booth.
I think
now,
he's terrific, by the way. I think he's going to get the gig. I think he should. It's a great listen. Great, what, you know, Hicks and obviously Tirico and the whole crew. But they did Scheffler dirty. As he's stepping up to that 48 footer, they showed on the screen he's had 110 straight holes without three putting, which is like, you know, let's put up guy hasn't missed 40-yard field goals in 50 straight attempts as he's lining up for the 40-yard field goal.
Miss.
And then he put it within 1 inch of the cup, and I'm like, well, that's how you don't three-putt in 110 straight holes or something like that. I cannot imagine doing that. And Scottie Scheffler wins the Players' Championship.
It's Tiger Woods stuff that he's doing right now in terms of ball striking and the top 10, just the last year, he's won four times, like 17 top five. It's unbelievable what he's doing right now.
And I'll just go here again. I don't watch the LIV Tour. I don't know, truly. And I know people at the CW. I know the guy who's running the CW. What's up, Worm? You know, they've got a remarkable stable of big name players, but you cannot create that atmosphere that we saw yesterday. And that's what the PGA Tour will always have over the LIV Tour. It's just, okay, this 72 holes, it's not 54. We're not doing, you know, we're not wearing you know, team golf shirts
and shorts. And
it just doesn't, that was a big time theater in a big-time event,
And, you know, obviously, would it be great if all the LIV Tour players were playing in that too? Would it make for an more interesting watch? Absolutely. No question about it.
Yeah, Rahm, DeChambeau,
oh, please.
Neiman,
just go down the
Phil,
list.
Just everybody. Cam Smith.
Koepka. I mean,
Brooks.
Over and over and over. Yeah. You know, come on.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But the leaderboard yesterday was incredible.
It was
you
great.
Scheffler comes from 5-6 back.
Oh, yeah.
You got three guys at 19 under. Brian Harman won the Open last year. He has a birdie to force a playoff. He missed. Schauffele. It was awesome. And then Wyndham Clark goes around the world.
Oh, my God.
He was ready to fist pump. Like, he saw it going in and kind of, and then sad Cobra.
Right.
It was great. All the drama you could want from a time golf tournament.
Right. And so I know the feeling of power lipping out. I know that. I don't know the feeling of left-handed 20-foot skyhooking at the buzzer over the greatest player on the planet right now. Right? But I could make that shot.
I mean, maybe you did when you were out. You may have been playing pickup ball and hit that shot. I don't know.
But me?
Yeah.
No.
No. Okay.
But I can say I can, you know, give me that 1 million to one shot. I can do it. I mean, that's kind of crazy. So there was that. So here's what we're going to do. Seth Davis is zooming in and we're going to break down the brackets with him. I haven't talked about the Bears side of this remarkable trade away of Justin Fields. But the 2020, and I'll do that at the end of this hour, because there is something that's going on with the Bears and how they, you know, a couple of moments that I've seen over the weekend, they're reacting to Justin Fields being traded away that I think I can help out for the Bears and some Bears fans who are upset about this. I can help. I'm here to help. I'll do that at the end of this hour after Seth Davis. But really quick, perfect example of how much of a difficult job it is to assess a quarterback draft class. The 2021 first round NFL draft class. Trevor Lawrence is the last man standing with his own team because Zach Wilson's going to be gone. There is no way. I shouldn't say this, but Jimmy Garoppolo having shown the way that you can't say that there's no way, no chance that somebody who says farewell at a press conference in the final loss of a season and then is not given a playbook at the beginning of the following training camp winds up signing a deal and winds up starting for that team later on that fall as proven. But there's no way Zach Wilson's going to be on the Jets. He's sitting there as a third stringer holding a clipboard. He was told that he's going to be sent somewhere. Yeah. He should just be cut if that's the case. And we'll see. Because I'm sure Joe Douglas is like in no hurry to, you know, cut Zach Wilson. Second overall pick and being cut is not what you want to have on your general managing resume. But the neat thing for Joe is that he's still there. Normally that gets you got. Trey Lance, that normally gets you got too when you trade all those draft choices to move up and you take somebody who you flip away from a fourth round draft choice. But the way you survive it is you build such a great team around him and you draft the final pick in the draft in the 2022 draft and he turns out to be Brock Purdy and you almost win the Super Bowl anyway. That's the way you keep your gig there too.
Yeah.
Mac Jones, did you see his press conference?
He had one?
He did. A sixth round draft choice is what the Jacksonville Jaguars gave to New England for Mac. Same, by the way, at least for New England, it's in this year's draft.
Yeah.
Right. Chicago won't get the sixth round pick for Justin Fields taking four picks before Mac until next year's draft, and it might even be a fourth rounder.
Mac looked like a butterfly freeing the cocoon.
Well, I told you he was a guy that when I saw him in Germany looked like he needed a hug.
Yeah.
And now he's receiving it from his mom when she's picking him up from work because he's home again in Jacksonville.
Everybody else's, the other new free agents, are looking at houses and apartments. Probably a unique experience for you right now.
Yeah, I do know the area good, and I don't think I'll be staying with my parents. So maybe we'll see. But yeah, my mom's coming to pick me up in about 30 minutes. So. It's kind of nice when your mom can pick you up from work. So
good to see him.
He looks like smiling, a new man. Laughing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's back home. He knows the area. Just wants to let everyone know he's not Mac Cutlets. He's not going to be living at home. He's going to be living separate.
Yeah, but his mom's coming to pick him up.
Pick him up. Though, man. That's like, nice, though.
That's awesome.
Maybe pick him up from work.
Does Mac Jones win a playoff game before the Patriots?
I don't think he's going to. I honestly don't think he's going to start a game for Jacksonville.
Probably right.
The only way he does is if Trevor Lawrence gets hurt.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence is going to have a
17.
Guys,
anymore,
Trevor Lawrence is having his fifth year option picked up, and then they're going to work during the summer, and he's going to get paid. I don't think it's going to be like Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow pay, but he's going to get paid. He's going to get paid. But we were all talking about the upside of Trevor Lawrence being exactly what we're talking about with Caleb Williams. Good news for Caleb is Matt Eberflus is not even in the same Urban Meyer area code.
Eberflus.
And then Zach Wilson, second overall, and then Trey Lance, third overall. And look what we're going to potentially have this year. Quarterback, quarterback, quarterback at the top of the draft. And you got two Heisman Trophy winners at the very top. Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, and then potentially a national champion with only one loss on his college resume and J.J. McCarthy. And if it's not him, it's Drake May. So buyer beware, essentially. Draft class 3 years ago. Total fire of the dumpster. Crazy. With Jacksonville as the one last spot. And now the first round pick taken in that draft, and the last one used on a quarterback in the first round of that draft, are in the same quarterback room 3 years later. Go figure that. Let's take a break. Seth Davis will join us. Bracketology. And then, guess what? We will hit the Bears' end of this thing.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you have a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling, Chris, today, it's because I'm just seeing on my feed here, it's the 20th anniversary of Jerry McNamara hitting for 43 for Syracuse over BYU.
Nice.
In the tournament.
That was awesome.
Looks like that's a first rounder. The old 5-12, BYU had upset on the mind. And
That was a great run, because that was the, let's see.
2004.
That? Yeah, 2004.
20 years ago today.
Nice.
He hit 9 threes.
It was great. I think we lost the next round, though.
Did you really? There was a period where Syracuse would just get bounced rounds 1 and 2.
We had a, and then, yeah.
And then there was a resurgence of Nobody could figure out the matchup zone.
We'd be the 10th or 11th seed.
Right. Nobody else would play a team with a matchup zone all season long. And then Syracuse would show up with their defense and totally discombobulate people. And they'd be Sweet 16, final Elite Eight. You know, they went on that run, too.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, no. We lost to Alabama.
My school is just in the dumpster, man. Yeah, I can't believe Juwan ended up getting fired. That's the way it worked. That's the way it wound up.
But here's two things for you, right? One, you got the Fab Five back together, which that to me lends itself to just being
right.
a success.
On January 15th, and I think Michigan won two more games the rest of the year.
And two, you don't care because you won football. You won the national. So you're going to ride that wave for the next year. So,
that's a good point.
I think this will kind of soothe and
Yeah, like winning the national championship, retiring Nick Saban, turning Nick Saban into a Capitol Hill testimonial guy.
Capitol Hill guy.
Right? Sent him to sit there next to Ted Cruz.
Oof. Yeah, so I think you'll be all right.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brackets. Okay, let's start filling them out. Wouldn't that be odd if that's how I use my time with Seth Davis? Like,
just fill out
all right, help me fill out my bracket.
All right,
Stetson.
We won't be doing that. Won't be doing that. He's joining us right now via Zoom. You'll be enjoying him on CBS and the family of networks covering March Madness. He's Seth Davis. How you doing, Seth?
I'm doing well, Rich. I'm enjoying my brief span of relevance here these next couple of weeks. And then I disappear.
Oh, stop it. You've got a best-selling book out with Rex Chapman, which I can't wait to talk with you about in our conversation that now kicks off with our brackets. When you get the brackets, you look for what? What's the first thing you look for when you get the brackets, Seth?
I'm so immersed in this stuff, Rich, and we only get the bracket, maybe 10 to 12 minutes before the start of the selection show because the conference games are still finishing up. So I don't have a lot of time to fill it out. I just take it. I literally fill it out in about 4 minutes, which is, I think a pretty good way to do it. I think the more I think about it, the worse my picks would have been, although they're usually pretty bad anyway. So you really matchups is what it comes down to for me. I mean, I look for sort of those 12-5 upsets, 13-4. That's your most common first round, quote unquote, upset. So I kind of look for those. But I just watch these teams all season long and followed it so closely that whatever jumps out at me, whatever I think. And I tend to go with early round upsets and then chalk later in the tournament. Some years it worked. Last year, obviously, it didn't. Year before, it did. So who knows? It's a lot of fun, and I just freewheel it.
Okay, so do you think the committee got it right with the top seeds, with the overall top seed? What do you think at the very top?
This is going to get into the weeds for the bracket nerds, but I think a lot of people are not necessarily aware that the committee actually seeds teams 1 through 68 all the way through. And then they start putting them into the bracket based on their principles. And the first principle is geography. You go to your closest place. And so as the weekend went on, when Iowa State drilled Houston by 30, when you put, Iowa State and North Carolina had the exact same record against the first two quadrants in the net. Iowa State had better wins, including two over Houston. Iowa State had a much worse non-conference strength of schedule, but its overall strength of schedule was very comparable. So you could go either way on it. I had Iowa State as a one. The committee went with North Carolina as a one. Zygazunt, not that big of a deal, but on the overall, nice. I knew you'd like that. Yeah. On the overall seed list, Iowa State was number 8, which means they were one slot away from being a 3 seed. Now, why is that significant? Because if they were a 5, they would end up in Detroit against Purdue, much more geographically better for them. Instead, they have to go to Boston to play UConn, of course, assuming everybody goes that far. So you're paired against the team that's the favorite in the tournament, and you have to go play them in Boston. I think the committee was maybe trying to make a statement about that non-conference strength of schedule, but I don't think you should be making statements. I think you should be going on the overall performance. Having said that, you're going to hear a lot of teams who are on the bubble who didn't get in talk about how they got robbed. Oh, this and that. And look, I didn't have Virginia in the tournament. I don't think Virginia did enough to be in. But if you are on the bubble, you have put the game in the hands of the refs. And one thing that happened over the weekend, Rich, is we had five teams, including New Mexico, which is a little bit of a surprise, but five teams that won their conference tournament who would not have been in the NCAA tournament if they hadn't won their conference tournament. So that means five at-large spots were taken off of the board because you still have, like, Dayton and the Atlantic 10 still got the at-large bid. So the Atlantic 10 got two teams in instead of one. Five. Last year, there was only one. Year before, there was only two. So Indiana State was the third team out of this tournament, which means if it was like the last 2 years where you had one or two what we call bid thieves, Indiana State would have been in, which would have been a bit of a surprise. So, you know, it just falls the way it falls. Whoever are the first teams out, and you know, I know you're a big football guy.
Yeah.
When they go to 12 or 14, whatever the number is, whoever's left out is going to complain.
Of course, bubble teams will always, that's part of being on the bubble, as you point out, you know. It's kind of the old football phrase, play, or basketball too, I guess it works, is play better than the refs ref. Don't leave it up in the hands of anybody who is so-called objectively looking at something. Just keep winning, and then you take care of your business yourself. While we're in the weeds, before we just start looking at the bracket, you know, a little bit larger view, Seth, what the hell is KenPom? Seth, I mean, it just seems like every year,
you
know what I mean? Like, what the hell is that? I think I pay attention well enough, but it just seems that, it used to be RPI was the newfangled thing years ago. What the hell is KenPom, Seth?
Okay, KenPom is actually a person.
Okay.
And his name is Ken Pomeroy.
Okay.
And he's a former television weatherman. And he does an advanced metrics rating system based on efficiency. And by the way, when the Winter Olympics comes around, he also does it for curling.
Huh.
So if you ever need a curling expert, I will put you in touch with Ken Pomeroy.
Okay.
His website is called kenpom.com. So it's all based on efficiency. It's a brilliant website in terms of the metrics and the way that it's laid out. And it's really, I have to say, it's a gambling site. It sets point spreads and the all the books in Vegas use it and people use it. And
right.
It's a very, what we call it, a predictive metric because it measures efficiency and it factors in, you know, who you're playing and strength of schedule and all that. So the RPI, the old RPI, mm-hmm. used to only go by result, and it was heavily weighted towards your opponents and then your opponent's opponent. So it counted a 1-point win and a 40-point win the same. I actually had no problem with that because that actually does count the same in the standings. You won the game, you lost the game.
Right.
You move on. But, you know, a lot of them, you know, people out there said, well, you need to be a little bit more nuanced. So the NCAA said, okay, they went to Google. So their net ranking is more closely aligned with KenPom. But it's at KenPom.com, and it's a great site for sussing all this stuff out if you really want to get into the weeds.
And it really is something that the selection committee use? That they,
well,
or the, we're just the, talking there, about in the media, you know?
Well, yeah, both. I mean, huh. it's the most cited. Coaches use it. Again, it's like, you know, one team averages 80 points a game, one team averages 70 points a game. Who's the better offensive team? Well, the team that scores more. Well, but what if a team that scores more plays twice as fast? Right? So it's points per possession is what KenPom is based on. It. And it goes into, you know, like if one team has, you know, 12 offensive rebounds a game, one team has 10 offensive rebounds a game, the one that has 12, well, but how many shots do they take? So it's offensive rebound percentage. So it's a very advanced and sophisticated, and it's just one of like a zillion analytics. So the committee looks at all of these metrics across the board, and they are useful in the sense because they all weigh different things. And if like a team is like, you know, 30, 31, 38, but then 75 in one of these metrics, that just kind of gives them a little, you know, keyhole that they can go into and dig deeper into the numbers.
Okay. So we're choosing NCAA tournament teams by Doppler radar now. I got it. Very good. Good to know. Hopefully,
at the end of the day, win enough and it doesn't matter.
That's
it. Win the game.
I like it.
Win the game.
I'm hoping KenPom was a good weatherman. That's all I'm saying.
You got to have him on for curling, Rich. I know you're a big curling guy.
I'm in.
I can see you.
I'm in.
We should be like the two Jewish guys with the broom and Fiddler on the Roof curling on the ice. That would be amazing. Can we do that, Rich?
Absolutely.
How hard? How hard can it be to do this?
It'll be in the Anatevka bracket, in the region. Okay. we're really in the weeds now. Okay. So who are your final four, Seth? Who's your final four?
I hate myself for going chalk. You know, last year was everything got blown up, but the year before was all blue blood. So I got UConn, Arizona, Houston, and Purdue. UConn and Houston have been the best teams in the country all season. Purdue has been right up there. They've lost some games that maybe make you worry. Maybe we're unfairly looking at that because of their recent NCAA tournament history, not just against FDU, but they've lost earlier than they should have the last couple of years, playing smaller, quicker teams. Houston and UConn, you know, Houston has been number one at KenPom for most of the season. So, but Purdue, I picked Purdue. I went with my heart a little bit. Purdue has, this is school. They haven't been to a Final Four since 1980, and they're one of the great fan bases. And I love Zach Edey as a person and as a player. If you don't like Zach Edey, you need to reevaluate things in your life. This backlash with the fouling, they could call three times as many fouls as they do against this kid, the way that he gets clubbed. And I've seen a lot of their games in person, but I see two teams in the Midwest. If you were going to look for teams that Purdue doesn't want to play, and you got to beat somebody good to get to a Final Four, no matter what, you would look for teams with dynamic scoring guards because their perimeter defense has been suspect. And then you'd want teams with good defensive centers to at least create a problem for Zach Edey. And then also teams that don't foul. Creighton is ranked number one on KenPom in defensive free throw rate. They are the best team in the entire country at playing good defense without fouling. Now, they don't get steals, so that's their thing. We're not going to try, but their efficiency is really good. And they have one of the best defensive centers in the country in Ryan Kalkbrenner, who's also a really good offensive player, 7'1" center. So that to me, and then Tennessee, obviously a dynamic offensive player in Dalton Knecht. I think Tennessee is actually relying too much on Knecht. You know, he had 40 when they played Kentucky at home, but they lost the game. So I think they're better off with Knecht getting 20 and winning the game. And so that's going to be an interesting dynamic for them going forward. You know, they lost early in the SEC tournament. Kentucky lost early. Houston lost by 20 points to Iowa State. Iowa State didn't do anybody a favor by making Houston angry going into the tournament. So I'm a little worried about Purdue, I'll be honest.
Who are your upsets that people might want to listen to and maybe sample when they're filling out their brackets, Seth?
Okay, Rich, you probably don't know this. Nobody knows this about me. This is just us. Yes. I went to Duke. Okay, I know nobody knows this. I'm going to reveal this now after 30 years in the industry.
Yes.
I've got James Madison over the Blue Devils in the Sweet 16. James Madison, first game of the year, they win at Michigan State. Everyone says, what's wrong with Michigan State? Well, James Madison was what was wrong with Michigan State. They actually ended up in the top 25 like their football team did. They've won 31 games, and they sailed through their tournament. Really well-coached team. My other upset specials were down in the Midwest. I got McNeese, coached by Will Wade. We remember him and how he flamed out at LSU, but no one ever criticizes his basketball coaching. It was the other stuff that got him in trouble. Again, they've won all year, and Wisconsin played well in the Big Ten tournament. They lost 8 of 11 at the end of the regular season. And that's something, by the way, for all you bracket filler outers out there, when you're looking for teams, especially the higher seeded teams, maybe to pick for upsets, look for teams that did well all season long. Grand Canyon. I like Grand Canyon in the Sweet 16.
Boy, you're liking upset all the 12s. You like all the 12s, huh?
Well, the 12-5 is the classic upset. The 13-4 has also, there's going to be, and that leads me to Samford over Kansas. This may seem wackadoodle, but Kansas lost by 20 to Cincinnati in the Big 12 tournament. They lost 4 of the last 5 games because their best player, the best player in the Big 12, Kevin McCullough, has been struggling with a bone bruise in his knee, basically doesn't practice, has been in and out in terms of his game availability. And then at the end of the regular season, last game against Houston, Hunter Dickinson dislocated his shoulder, didn't play in the Big 12 tournament. Now, they say those guys are going to play, but Kansas already had no depth. They were basically only had 4 really good players, 4. And so they won a lot of games because they're a really good 4. They're going up against a team in Samford. Their head coach is a guy named Bucky McMillan, who got hired 4 years ago. He was coaching the high school down the street.
Yeah.
And Martin Newton hired him to be the head coach at Samford. They play Bucky ball. Full court pressure. 12 guys play. They run, they gun, they shoot threes, and how's this for a kicker, Rich? The game is being played in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
So altitude comes into play. So I got Samford over Kansas with McNeese going to the Sweet 16. I got James Madison in the Sweet 16. I got Grand Canyon in the Sweet 16. And then from there, it's pretty much a lot of chalk.
Yeah. So you've got Samford versus McNeese in a second round Salt Lake City match up. How about this one, too? Who's in Salt Lake City? But Long Beach State, what a story that they tell Dan Monson, you're out on a Monday, and he's cutting down the tournament nets to become the 15 seed on a weekend. That's nuts, Seth. Have you ever heard of anything? No. Has that ever happened? I mean,
I don't think it's ever happened. The reverse of that is, of course, is your alma mater in 89.
Right.
Yeah.
Where Steve Fisher gets the gig because Bo won't keep Bill Frieder in place.
Yeah.
You know, So I guess the AD said, I'm not going to have a Long Beach guy coach a Long Beach team, right? Although the reverse to Bill Frieder left Michigan in 89, I guess, but Monson's given it. I've never heard anything like that, Seth.
Well,
right?
You know, so you say, why do you do this? You do this for this reason, because if you feel like you want to make a coaching change, if the guy makes the NCAA tournament, you can't fire him, basically, right? That doesn't matter. I mean, I guess you can do anything you want. So this is what they chose to do. It's an interesting time in the coaching business as a college coach in any sport, but especially in basketball and football with the way things are going. You know, Dan Monson, people may remember, was the OG Slipper Still Fits coach at Gonzaga when they made their original Elite Eight. I think it was 1999. And then he, on the basis of that run, he got hired to go to Minnesota.
Right.
And Mark Few was his assistant coach on that team and took over, and the rest is history. So Dan Monson's a well thought of guy. He'll find work if he wants it. And it's a fun situation.
Well, maybe they go on a run and they say, you know, we never took our finger off the chess piece, you know, like we haven't.
Right.
It could be one of those.
If they want to change their mind, I'm sure he'd be willing to coach. He doesn't sound like a guy who doesn't want to coach anymore.
All right. I'm with you. Seth Davis here on the Rich Eisen Show. In the few minutes I have left with you, the success of the memoir of Rex Chapman that you have written with Rex, it is a New York Times bestseller right now. Are you walk me through, because he says that you basically told him this has to happen, Seth, that he was he was kind of thinking about maybe not doing it.
Well, sort of. I mean, I definitely knew he had an amazing book in him. So my thing with him was always like, we talked about it. Well, maybe I'll think about it. I said, OK, I'd love to do it. I'd love to do it with you. But do not do this unless you are willing to be completely honest and completely forthcoming and not hold anything back. And by anything, I mean anything. Now, there were a couple of things we didn't put in there because of the impact it might have on someone else.
Right.
But I waited until, and I don't know if Rex, you know, told you the story, but it was during the, you know, people have talked about, you know, obviously the addiction and depression and anxiety and all those things and attention deficit that played into it. But there's a lot of racial tension in this book. And it was during the George Floyd protests where I saw Rex do an interview where he made the comment, you know, and he was emotional and he made a comment, you know what, I never talked about these things because I was worried about it affecting my pocketbook, but now I'm ready to talk about it. And that's when I called him. I said, okay, let's go. And he really trusted me. And to be honest, Rich, if he knew remotely how painful the process was going to be, there's no way that he would have done it. There were a couple of times when I thought he was going to pull out, including as he was reading the final drafts, and he had a severe panic attack and ended up in the hospital. But I have to tell you, because of people like you and all of these interviews that he's been doing, it's been incredible. He's so filled with self-loathing, you know, and he was so sure that everybody was going to hate him and judge him and castigate him and crucify him. And to see the love that's surrounded him and see the actual healing as he's talked about this over and over again. You know, it's one thing, Rich, to say these things to a therapist once a month, and you're probably not even talking about that. You're probably talking about whatever with your therapist. But to put it in a book to feel that vulnerability and then to talk about it and go there and to have his kids read it. See, like I said, Rex, your kids are grownups, man. Like, it's just the truth, right? Like, it's just the truth. So I'm super proud of him. I love him like a brother. And I really feel like, Rich, we did something great together. And I'm really proud of the book and gratified by the reception.
You should be, brother. And congratulations, to you as well. And then we'll put the picture up. This says it all, right? Look at that. I mean,
how about that?
I mean, LeBron holding up. Look at that.
You see him pointing at my name? He's pointing right at my name. That's so intentional.
Yeah, he's a pleaser. He's a pleaser, Seth. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Before I let you go, two other things. What's my alma mater going to do now that Juwan Howard is out? And this has been an unfortunate ending to something that had so much promise at the beginning.
Yeah.
Who's Michigan going to hire, do you think, Seth?
You know, I wish I had a good answer for you. I mean, there are no obvious candidates. I think this notion of having to stay within the family is often doesn't work. Sometimes it does work, but I don't think you should be limiting your pool. Look, the hot name on the coaching circuit is Dusty May. And a lot of us had Dusty ticketed for Ohio State. They've made their hire. And so now you have Louisville out there. Interestingly enough, a lot of basketball people will tell you Louisville's a better job because it is considered more of a basketball job. I think Michigan is a fantastic job. I think Dusty May would be a fantastic fit there. There are some big swing candidates. Kind of a dark horse might be Scott Drew. He's been at Baylor for 21 years. I look for guys who are not only good but have affordable buyouts. Mm-hmm. And his buyout is only four. Like Nate Oates' buyout is prohibitive. Mick Cronin's is $20 million. It goes down to 16, but it's $20 million right now. Mm. T.J. Otzelberger at Iowa State, his buyout is $16 million. Michigan is not. Nobody is paying that. Nobody's paying that. And another guy in that category who I think could do the job, who has a manageable buyout, is Jamie Dixon at TCU. So those would be three names that I would throw into the mix. Scott May, Jamie Dixon, and Scott Drew. I think you call Scott first and see if he might be interested. But besides that, you're looking at sort of the mid-major up-and-coming guys, the Nico Medveds of the world, the Darian DeVries of the world. I think we can kind of flush maybe forever the former NBA guy who's never coached in college coming back. What goes on between the lines in practice and during the game is never a problem for guys like Juwan Howard, Mike Woodson, Penny Hardaway, right on down the line. That's about 5% of the job right now. If that, it's all, you're a general manager, you're a CEO. You have to manage personalities, the portal, the recruiting, NIL, alums, the university, the fans. Like, it's a big job. The basketball part of it is only a small part of it. So you want to have somebody who culturally could be a good fit. Let me ask you this question.
Yes, Jeff.
As a Michigan alum, as a Michigan alum, would you be excited about Dusty May?
Of course. I'm excited for, anything that wasn't this year. Honestly, I'm
talk about a low bar.
But it's all, but no, I know. But it's really all, an unknown. You go with somebody else's track record and you feel like, again, if you had asked me years ago, are you psyched for John Beilein? I'm like, well, I mean, he spun some gold out of the pit snoggle straw. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, and I wouldn't mind having him back if that's what he wants to do. And I also wouldn't mind, if you give Jay Wright a little bit of an elbow when you see him on the set, Seth, and say, those pinstripe suits would look good in Ann Arbor as well. Seth,
yeah, I'll tell you what. Let me tell you something. You never saw any human being happier than Jay Wright. He doesn't look. He's turned down more money than you and I will ever see. He's 60, 61 years old.
Right.
He's attached to the game. He's involved in the game in his current role. He's amazing at it. He's an absolute mensch of a human being, and he loves being with his family. So my guess is he's coached his last game, but I've been wrong before.
Well, you're an absolute mensch as well, Seth. So I mandated to send you out the door by asking you, who do you have winning it all? Who do you have?
I got UConn over Houston. How's that for a bold pick?
Wow, back to back. Well, it is bold, though. I mean, for somebody to go back to back is pretty darn bold, regardless of how well they've looked all season long, Seth.
Yeah, and after, by the way, you know, the only two teams since John Wooden did it were Duke and Florida. In both cases, to repeat, both cases, they basically brought back their entire team. UConn lost three starters and five over their top eight scores. And look where they are now. That's why Dan Hurley's my coach of the year. It's not even close.
He is amazing. Seth, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Have a great March Madness, and we'll chat on the other side. You be well.
Love you, Rich. Appreciate you.
Right back at you. That is Seth Davis. Check him out on CBS and the family of March Madness networks as you get set for your bracketology right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Hopefully that made you smarter. Hopefully that made you the winner in your NCAA tournament pool.
Let's go.
Let's take a break. Kenny Pickett has spoken.
Ooh.
Boy, the Eagles trade for him on Friday. Give him a press conference on Monday. Welcome to Philadelphia, Kenny.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. So he had 3-12 seeds advancing.
That's aggressive.
Yeah. Well,
we've seen it before.
And Samford, one and done in Kansas, would be what we call a story of the tournament.
I mean, the last few years, we've gotten a 15. Obviously, we had another 16 win last year. There seems like there's always an 11, a 12, a 13 wins.
I don't know. Longwood taking on Houston. Who's, with all due respect, I know I'll get in trouble when I say this stuff. Who's Longwood?
Well.
What is... what they, school is Longwood?
Grady Dick tried to reenact that.
Oh my God, dude, that was ridiculous.
So many jokes there,
dude. Longwood sounds like one of those BBC America programs. Like this, he's on the
BBC
case.
America?
Longwood is solving crimes.
Longwood's in Virginia, Rich.
Longwood's in Virginia.
Yeah, they're the Lancers.
Longwood University.
Lancers.
BBC Longwood.
That was my high school.
Is that what you're saying?
Stop it.
That was my high school.
Stop it. Grand Canyon's head coach is Bryce Drew. Did you guys know that?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Longwood's coach.
No, Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon's head coach is Bryce Drew.
Bryce Drew.
Yeah.
I think the Valparaiso shot had an anniversary last week. As a matter of fact.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of the coolest shots in tournament.
Well, I mean, it's also perfectly executed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Huh.
There's games tomorrow. Actually,
I know that there's the first four.
Yeah,
first four.
In Dayton, Ohio.
Playing.
Howard taking on Wagner College. That's of Staten Island, New York.
Yes. My brother beat them in hockey when he was in college.
There you go. And then Virginia, Colorado State, Montana State, and Grambling. Boise State in Colorado.
Boise.
Very good. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I mean, the fact that I sat here and I'm like, Kenny Pickett is absolutely going to compete for the job with Russell Wilson. And then apparently the word was Russell Wilson was told he's going to get first team reps. And that's when Kenny Pickett decided he wanted out. And the issue that was already lingering is allegedly they wanted him to dress for the final regular season game last year against week 17 against Seattle.
Mm, last game of the year, yeah.
Right. And week 18 against Seattle. And he said no, coming off of ankle surgery. And that led to, I guess, Mike Tomlin saying, then you're out. Mike Tomlin famously a couple years ago says that the Steelers, they take volunteers, not hostages.
Great line.
And so now he's a Philadelphia Eagle. Not bad for an Ocean Township kid, by the way, which is he is. So apparently he's an Eagles fan. This is what he had to say about him asking out, reportedly, and the Steelers obliging him.
Way to explain why you wanted a fresh start.
You know, I just thought it was time. You know, it just felt like it was time from, you know, the things that transpired, and you know, wanted to get a chance to go somewhere else and continue to grow my career. And you know, is what it is. It was behind closed doors. You know, I'm confident in the way that I handled it. I handled it the way I should have handled it. You know, I'm excited to be here. It worked out so well that Philly was the place I ended up landing in. So I think everything happens for a reason, and, you know, I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
And again, the word is Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is going to join us in just about 7 minutes' time, saying that he apparently canceled an off-season workout with him and the rest of the Steelers receivers after he was told that Russ was getting first-team reps. Louis Riddick, a Pitt guy, saying that Pickett's never turned down competition before. So then he was asked about the refusing to dress at the end of last season. He was asked that question point-blank today in Philly.
Hey, Kenny, there were some reports that you refused to be an emergency quarterback toward the end of the year last season. Can you tell us what happened there?
Yeah, I think that goes back to a lot of the communication behind closed doors that, you know, didn't go the way that I feel like they went, how it's getting released. You know, there was a plan there for that game. It went down exactly the way it was planned to go down that entire week. You know, I was coming off the ankle surgery, so it is what it is. And, you know, like I've been saying, though, very happy to be here.
So he didn't talk about anything.
A lot of it is what it is. Behind closed doors.
Yeah, it was happening behind closed doors. Communication behind closed doors.
Interesting.
Did not have Kenny Pickett needing to be traded to Philadelphia, where he's happy to be behind a guy who's making a gajillion dollars and is absolutely the installed starter, rather than trying to beat out a guy who's about 10 years older than him, and he could utilize the fact that they used the first-round draft choice on him and are therefore invested in making sure he's happy. But he had to be sent away because he's a diva? I mean, I did not have that one on the old bingo card. Certainly when it was a month ago when they were supposedly committed to giving Kenny Pickett everything he needed to be successful in year three, including a competition with Mason Rudolph. Instead, he's a Philadelphia Eagle backup to Jalen Hurts, and Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are in that quarterback room that Trubisky was in with Pickett and Mason Rudolph. These are all facts as we now throw to our number three on this crazy Monday.
It's like the Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He's like doing the mind thing on the...
Right. I mean, it's...
Jeff, it's like what?
It's absolutely what's happened.
It's crazy.
You know, and Jerry Dulac's going to rejoin us because the last time we had him on, he was hearing from the Steelers they were uninterested in anybody outside the organization. And Russ then popped free, and all he had to do was just sign for $1 million. And then Justin Fields, again, don't forget, middle of February, the conversation was Fields could go to Atlanta for their 8th overall pick in this year's draft. And all the Steelers needed to do to get Fields was a 6th round choice in next year's draft that could be a 4th round pick. It's a 3rd day draft choice 2 years from now, or a year from now, pardon me, 2 drafts from now. So why not give that a whirl? And Russ is like the quarterback room about to be fire.
Okay, bro.
And he's already taken ownership. He's getting his hair cut in Pittsburgh. He's got black and gold. Was
black and gold. Here we go.
Here they go.
He's got to say. He's got the
there you go. He's got it ready.
He's already got the slate.
Let Russ smelt. That's what I'm hearing. Is that the phrase?
How about
what is
less it? Less phrases, more wins?
Yeah.
How about that?
See?
But you get phrases with Russ and black wins and potentially.
Here we go.
Oh my gosh. And the crazy thing is that Jerry Dulac's friend in suits may be around the royal family longest.
The
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.